This morning, I'm indebted to a sermon that was written in 2010 by Samuel Wells. It was preached at Duke Divinity School. His writing influenced a lot of my own as I prepared this week. Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of each heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The story of David and Goliath may be a Sunday school favorite, but it's not our story alone to tell. Goliath, the beefy, belligerent Philistine against David, the shepherd boy from Bethlehem, is actually part of the Christian and Jewish and Muslim scriptures. It's a story that universally captures our imaginations because we love to root for the underdog. It's why we love movies like Rudy, the working-class kid who dreams of playing football at Notre Dame but lacks the money and the grades it takes. It's why Aaron Brockovich is our hero, a small-town attorney taking on a sprawling multinational conglomerate that's poisoning the water in the local streams. So we clench our fists in victory, and maybe we shed a few tears, because stories like this make us feel like we might have a chance to do something significant, too. We read this morning, continuing in 1 Samuel. We are in chapter 17, beginning in verse 32. We were never promised a PG Bible. My goodness. Last Sunday, we read from First Samuel, David's call story. God directs Saul to choose David, the youngest of Jesse's sons, because God knows David's heart. God knows that David is capable of doing what God needs him to do. Fast forward to today, and we begin to see what God sees in David. David steps out of obscurity, waving aside the clumsy armor offered to him by Saul. Instead, he takes 5 smooth stones and a slingshot and leaves Goliath biting the dust. Now, this is David at his best, full of confidence, full of faith, full of hope, telling Saul he doesn't need the heavy armor, and telling Goliath he doesn't need the mighty power. David defeats Goliath. The people swing behind David. David becomes king. But the story doesn't stop there. Gradually, this terrible irony begins to reveal itself. David becomes Goliath. David becomes a bully, a merciless military power broker, ruthless in his acquisition of pleasure and privilege. David becomes the bloated beached whale he began his career by destroying. Last year, in the wake of the Wells Fargo scandal, The Atlantic published an article declaring that power causes brain damage. That if power were a prescription drug, it would come with a long list of known side effects. It can intoxicate, it can corrupt. John Stumpf, the now former CEO of Wells Fargo, was the article's case study. In his congressional hearing, he apologized, but he didn't appear remorseful or chastened, nor did he seem defiant or smug or even insincere. He just looked disoriented, like a jet-lagged space traveler, the article read. 2 decades of research and field experiments led a psychology professor at UC Berkeley to conclude that the subjects under the influence of power acted as if they had suffered traumatic brain injury, becoming more impulsive, less risk-aware, and less adept at seeing things from other people's point of view. As David loses sight of where his power comes from, he begins to act differently. He loses who he is, his own soul. Where does your power come from? David's power lies in his five smooth stones. Now, I know you don't have five unless you start pooling the stones in your row, but you've got one. And so what do you say we just turn that stone over in our hands for a moment? Please don't throw them at the preacher. Thank you. In these stones is where true power is found. Stone number one for David is he has made his peace with ordinary time. Now, we've been observing the liturgical season of ordinary time. I can separate you two if needed. I'm just saying. Give people a rock. This season of ordinary time has been on since the celebration of Pentecost in May. And throughout it, we've been coming to see how even amidst the more mundane seasons of our lives, we can find meaning if we're paying attention. David knows how to put his own needs and desires aside for the sake of hard, unglamorous work. He looks after his father's sheep. He takes provisions to various commanders in the army. Some parts of every life and every part of some lives are without reward and regard. There are those times in life when we are unemployed or underemployed. We're sick or recovering. We're tending to the care of others. And in these seasons, we can either lean into the rhythm of the everyday or we can succumb to hours or days of resentment. David, in the midst of his ordinary life, finds a way to make ordinary time into a source of pride, the everyday into a form of training, the mundane into a way to build relationships. That's where David gets his power. Is that where you get your power? Stone number two for David is he has made friends with the outdoor world. David doesn't rely on technology or physical advantage. He has spent his life outside. He knows how to keep sheep. He knows where to find smooth stones. He knows how to craft a sling. Goliath doesn't have a clue about any of these things. When was the last time you felt the joy of nature? The meadows, the streams, the mountains. That's why we moved here, right? Our lives become so surrounded with gadgets and comforts and appearances and armor that we forget that we can gain awareness and knowledge just by being. David learns from his outdoor life the wisdom of the owl, the cunning of the fox, the agility of the wildcat, the sharp eye of the eagle. That's where David gets his power. Is that where you get your power? Stone number three for David is he knows himself. Saul assumes that David should be as much like Goliath as possible, and so he gets out the whole suit of armor, the bronze helmet, the coat of mail, the hefty sword. But David knows who he is. He knows he is not Goliath. And he knows he's not Saul. Are you wearing someone else's armor? It's heavy, isn't it? Trying to be someone we'll never be is just plain uncomfortable. David knows there's no point in putting on Saul's armor. Saul may perceive that rejection as disrespect or disappointment as David taking an unnecessary risk. But David knows there is no point in trying to be Saul. David knows his own weaknesses. And he knows his own strengths. That's where David gets his power. Is that where you get your power? Stone number four for David is he knows who God is. David knows Goliath is not God. Goliath is the reality in front of him right now. And to be clear, that reality is big, ugly, and intimidating. But David knows that those 10 feet tall in front of him isn't the reality. As we wrestle with our current reality, educators not receiving living wages, families separated at the border or before it, systemic racism and poverty, ecological devastation, a heightened awareness and incidence of death by suicide, it can be difficult to keep our minds and hearts grounded in our ultimate reality, the truth of our faith, that each and every one of us is created in the image of God. And to be clear, we're not God. Our leaders are not gods. Goliath is not God. David knows that. That's where David gets his power. Is that where you get your power? And finally, stone number five. David knows what power fundamentally is. He knows time. He knows the world. He knows himself. He knows God. He's prepared to draw on power. But where does that power reside? Power resides not in Goliath's bravado, but in David's skill. Not in Goliath's muscle, but in David's faith. Not in Goliath's plausibility, but in David's truth. Not in Goliath's armor, but in David's wisdom. Look, friends, you are on to this. You know what to do with your time, how to be in the world. You know who you really are, and you know what to believe in. You have real power. You have it. The power of David, a power nothing and no one can take away from you. Now, it can be easy, as David discovers, to lose sight of that power. Most of us discover that at some point in time in our lives or another. When we lose sight of our power and its true source, that's precisely the moment when we're drawn to Goliath. In the end, Goliath's problem isn't that he's too strong. It's that he's too weak. The more we try to become Goliath, the weaker we become. It shows that we have lost sight of where our power truly lies. Within each of us is the power to resist injustice and oppression, the power to break down the bonds of racism and classism and sexism and heterosexism, the power to advocate for families and children in foster care, in detention facilities, in poverty, the power to be true to yourself while seeing others for who they truly are, the power to disagree with someone without degrading their dignity, the power to make your voice heard without having to shout over all the others, the power to use your five smooth stones for good. Cherish these five stones. Feel their smoothness as you hold them in your hand. And listen for that still, small voice whispering, you don't need to become Goliath. Like David, you have a power Goliath will never know.